Thanks for that.
Good afternoon. It is 3:01 p.m. on Monday, December 9th, 2019. I'm Commissioner Brian Crotchis, joined by Commissioner Julie Fedorchak and Commissioner Randy Christman. I don't have any opening comments. Do you, Commissioner
Fedorchak? I do Fedorchak? Not.
Okay, before I turn it over to Commissioner Christman, just a quick, who is the portfolio holder, just a quick mention of the case numbers. This is for RC-19-189 and RC-19-190, Coyote Creek Mining Company, LLC. So, Commissioner Christman, it's all yours.
Thank you. And so the two cases are on the Coyote Creek Mine permit. One is their renewal after 5 years since the previous permit was granted. The other is for a revision of the permit. And so the two cases kind of go together, but if it's all right for the discussion in our work session, would you be all right if we just take one at a time?
Absolutely.
I would be.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so I'd like to address first the scheduling part of it and the request to delay.
Can we talk first about what do you envision the purpose of the work session to be for? Like, what's your goal today?
To either make a decision what to do with each of these, or to give staff guidance, or I suppose to request that the administrative law judge make a decision.
And each of these being the issues brought up by Mr. Broughton?
Right.
On the 6th?
The each of these being one on delaying the hearing from December 16th, the other on disqualifying Wade Mann and the his law firm.
Okay. Thank you, Randy.
Crowley Fleck. So with regard to the scheduling, and as things have continued to get filed, I've been reading this stuff all morning, but going back much further than that, I guess a long-held belief of mine is when we get ALJs, there's things that they schedule. Like we're in a hearing somewhere and we wrap it up and they schedule the date by when the sides are going to file their post-hearing briefs and things like that. But when it comes to us and our own hearings, I think scheduling is something that we ought never be turning over to the ALJs. An ALJ, when requested, can accept or decline a case based on their schedule. If they already have something scheduled that day, they just can't. But they don't know what our schedule is and what kinds of other cases we have going. So I think scheduling, I think this is something that we need to decide whether we're going to delay it or not. And as for a decision, in the formal hearing request from November 20th from Mr. Broughton, he actually mentions issues to be raised include reclamation and reclamation liability, dust control, water erosion, the presence of an alluvial valley floor, and road closures/access issues. So to the point they're making about not having time to adequately prepare, these are essentially the issues that they filed the informal complaint about, that they went through the informal process on, that subsequent to our decision after the informal, that they chose to make the case for the formal. There has been an abundance of time to prepare, really since last summer, but certainly for the last month. And so to me, any lack of preparation would fall slowly on the Broughton Law Firm. And I think that our schedule has been set, and I don't think that we are in any way diminishing the Voight's right to adequate counsel. That law firm has had plenty of time to prepare, and I think that we can set this one aside and just choose to move forward with the hearing as scheduled.
I have supported staying with the state. You know, I think it's important to just not continually push things back, stick with the time frames that were established in law. And I'm comfortable with that, and I'm comfortable with your arguments. The one thing I did, I'm not opposed to moving it to the 19th or 20th, however, of that week, if it can be done without having to reissue a notice. Because I think that that is just a couple of days. We can still meet our 30-day time frame. Doesn't kick it way out into the new year. You know, it seems to make a difference to the Broughton firm if we can do that. Now, I don't know if we can. I just don't know if it's possible to still meet our obligations for notice and adjust that hearing date a couple days.
Of course, we're also asking quite a number of parties, individuals, to, can they switch? Because the ALJ would have to be available, their attorneys would have to be available. I think it's a long shot, you know, with all of the moving parts.
Again, I'm just not opposed to that request. If it's different to me than kicking it out into January and beyond the time frames. So, but you're right. There would be more coordination to make those work if that is feasible, and we can avoid having to renotice. I think my schedule is open on the 19th and 20th. If we adjusted one obligation that all of us have back to its original date, which we had adjusted for this.
But I could too, but I think it's very safe to assume, based on the objections to moving the date from the other party involved here, that if we ask them, they probably are going to say they have scheduling conflicts and they want to hold the date. So that subject of those dates, I mean, they didn't address their schedule in it, but they clearly indicated a preference to not move it, so I'm sure that would be the result if we asked them.
Is it possible within our notice requirements? I mean, so I think that's the first issue before we'd even ask the opposing counsel.
Commissioners, I guess I think that this matter might be better suited to be taken care of by the ALJ. We have an ALJ in order to ensure that the hearing is held procedurally and in line with the laws and what are the legal requirements to hold the hearing. Usually with our informal conferences and pre-hearing conferences, we can sit down and have this discussion. I know, Commissioner Crispin, you had some thoughts on the difficulty, of course, meeting your schedule. If we did reschedule the hearing, they would reschedule the hearing consistent with your concerns as well. I mean, they wouldn't schedule a hearing where the three of you couldn't make it. Of course, that's one of the most important pieces to hold the formal hearing. I just think that that's probably the best venue in order to address this. I was hoping to come in here and get a recommendation from you guys. I hear generally that you guys are comfortable if it did get moved. There is an issue with the publication requirements, as Commissioner Fedorchak said. I know that we are supposed to publish this in the newspaper a number of times, which you can reduce up to, I think 5 days. It was 5 days, right? But I'm not sure we could actually get another publication issued 5 days prior to the change of
I
that
think
hearing.
I'm the only one that suggested they might be open to moving it, though.
Okay.
Thank you. Yeah, one of them.
I am.
I apologize.
I didn't get that. I didn't get that from Randy for sure.
Sure.
And I sense that Brian is more towards keeping it on the 16th. But the parties could be.
Yeah. Here's you know, in terms of moving on the 16th, that when a request for a formal hearing was made, the voids were represented by Broughton Law Firm, correct?
That is correct.
And that was presented, and they should have been advised that this sets into motion the fact that there are 30 days to make this happen. And we are getting toward the end of those 30 days. And if I were in the Voight shoes, I wouldn't probably be putting the time frame together, but Broughton Law Firm should be doing that for them and saying, hey, here's, you know, once we pull the trigger on this, you know, we've got to act within 30 days, and we are at the mercy to some extent. But this is not my area of expertise.
Sure.
In terms of how often does this happen, not happen in terms of a continuance. I do agree. I think that in part is why we have an ALJ. But I think Randy makes a strong point, too, in terms of being more than capable of scheduling things on our own. You know, just looking at the 19th, it might, we have the special meeting for Ashtabula Wind.
At 5.
Oh, 5.
Yeah.
Because we need to just get, that's moved then till after the holidays.
No. We just be done by then.
Well, that's true, I suppose.
That was sort of something that was expected to be just a kind of a quick thing once the deadline for comments ended. And the comments end at 5 o'clock that day. So I don't think that will be a huge problem. But like I say, I do think that our scheduling is something that we do, not the ALJs.
I think I have spoken with staff, and I know they have availability on the 19th and 20th if it ultimately does get moved to that date.
Well, the biggest issue to me, and maybe you need to research this more, is it possible to do it with within our notice requirements? Because if it isn't, it's a DOA. I don't think we should do it then. I don't want to re-notice a hearing and start all over again 30 days from tomorrow or whatever.
Sure. Does it work for CCMC?
That's true.
And they have attorneys and they have schedules and they have things, and you're pushing up against the holidays.
Right.
And things get squeezed on both sides just because it's a tough 2 weeks, Christmas week and the New Year's week.
Sure.
It's always been tough, and it's things spill both ways.
It does put us in a unique circumstance. I think generally the parties have worked together to, with common courtesy, to set a date that works for all sides. But so that, along with our time constraint, it puts us in a unique position for this hearing.
I don't know if you want to do it in this case with seems like the inclination for litigation. But there have been times in work sessions when we've just asked someone who's in the room a simple yes or no question, and so I don't know if that's something you want to entertain, the idea of just asking CCMC
if they are
available on the 19th and 20th. Or if
they can get back to us, too, if they don't know.
You could request that as well outside the work session.
But in either way, I just object on the principle that I think our scheduling is for us, and I think we should make the decision. And
I'm good with that.
And I like the date that we chose. Like I say, the case that they have this week, if they've been waiting until the last few days to prepare for this, they're not going to be very well prepared anyway, even if we do move it a couple days.
Yeah, it wasn't very.
They've had plenty of time to prepare for this.
Okay, why don't we just stay with the 16th and 17th, and then, and that's where all roads are pointed right now, it seems like. Or is that not where? Or did I misunderstand?
No, I mean, I'm okay with that. I'm okay with that. It's a couple of days. You know, it's not a huge difference. For it doesn't provide a whole lot of extra time for them to prepare, even if we do grant it. So it's not, I kind of have a hard time believing that it's, you know, that big of a deal. But, and I'm not sure that we could even change it and still meet our notice requirements. That to me is the,
right.
So, Dean, you don't think it's possible?
No, there's a emergency provision in there, but it requires that the notification period may be shortened, but in no event may notice be less than 5 days prior to the hearing.
This is the publication notice, not
the... This is the publication notice.
Okay. Right?
And that's publishing in the Beulah Beacon and the Bismarck Tribune. The Bismarck Tribune's not a problem, the Beulah Beacon, because they publish once a week. We've missed this week.
And this is next week.
And this is, would be next week, and there's no way it would be 5 days.
Okay. Well, that's there's a decision then, from my perspective, too.
We need more flexibility. Well, not to talk about that, but we need more flexibility in that law to be able to publish digitally or something to that effect, so we're not always getting clobbered by these deadlines.
Well, I'll provide that, what you guys discussed to the ALJ. The one thing I would note, though, Commissioner, is I know you indicated that maybe 2 days doesn't make a big difference. I think frequently with organizing cases in my previous trial experience, 2 days can go a long ways for a trial prep or something. But that being said, we do have the publication requirements, and I'm not sure how we would meet it at this point. If this ultimately had been decided last week, we could have at least done under the emergency provisions.
Right.
And those requirements aren't for the parties, like under 2832, that this is publication for the public.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So we're ready to move on to the other one? So this one is about the disqualification of Wade Mann and by whatever you call his, by the fact that he's a part of Crowley Fleck Law Firm, of that firm. One of the things that I found particularly bothersome was that in making his case, Mr. Broughton emphasized, and first let me say, I recognize the difference in preparation and the details of the informal process as opposed to the formal process. Mr. Broughton is the one who has made the connection here of and made the comparisons. And he emphasized that the ALJ concluded that he had no authority to disqualify. And it bothers me that on a one-page order from the ALJ, that then he goes on to not include the fact that it says even if the ALJ has the authority, Mr. Mann did not act substantively in the previous proceedings. He acted in a procedural manner. And so it seems to me, you know, these cases, we can have big disagreements on what the outcomes should be, but it seems like typically try and follow the facts and the law and get to each side trying to get to their own end. But to cite an order and make a connection between the informal and the formal that way and leave out an important part, I did find a little bit bothersome. But what I find more bothersome is that they seem to imply that this commission just kind of passively rubber stamps these orders. And that's never the way I have felt about a proposed order, whether it comes from one side of the table or the other side of the table or what an ALJ then puts together for us. To me, they're all useful pieces of information, but I've never felt like I or anybody else on this commission just rubber stamps them. And so to me, that's an important part in that Mr. Broughton brought the order from the informal into this decision. I think that's an important part to weigh how that ALJ looked at that. To the extent that Mr. Broughton claims that Mr. Mann's role as a ALJ in the past is problematic in this current case, to me, the problem pales compared to the delays and additional expenses that disqualification would have on Coyote Creek. So the first case that we already finished talking about, I have my long-held principle that our scheduling should be on us, some of these other decisions for the ALJ. But to me, this is And let me just add one other factor. One of the things that caused a great deal of, I think, consternation from everybody involved was the timing of us reaching our decision after the informal hearing. Because these ALJs are busy, too. They're not just sitting around waiting for something to do on one of these cases. And so in that case, after all the filings were done, we literally got the proposed order from the ALJ on the deadline day at which the mine would have had to shut down that night. And so I don't know how long a decision would even take on this part of the case. To me, it is such an obvious decision that I don't think we need to burden the ALJ with it, nor do I think we need to take the chance on that the ALJ's ability to process it and get a decision to us ends up somehow delaying the hearing anyway. So I don't, to me, I'd be ready to make a decision on this one as well, that to not disqualify.
This is one that I think the ALJ should make a decision on. It's clearly a matter of kind of legal professional standards and ethical standards that I'm not familiar with. I'm not a member of the bar, and they're referencing so many cases and decisions, some of which were made by the Ethics Committee of the State Bar, and it's just, this is an area that I think should be determined by the ALJ. So I'm not comfortable making a decision today. And I think that I agree that the, you know, that does require an extra step, but you know, the ramifications either way are too substantial. I mean, to disqualify, for us to decide to disqualify Mr. Mann would have serious ramifications for the company, and for us to decide to allow him to without, you know, a strong understanding of the legal history and what kind of grounds that creates for any future decisions and weaknesses that it creates, I'm not comfortable with that. I think I want to know that somebody with legal training has made this decision and has a strong legal background on which to base it so that it doesn't create an item for being appealed. So Brian, you're in the middle.
Figuratively and literally.
So let me just add another thought on that then. Mr. Broughton pointed out some things from our administrative rules on the ability to disqualify people. There's another one that he didn't mention, and that is... that this article from that section of administrative rules shall be liberally construed to secure just, speedy, and inexpensive determination of the issues presented. Knowing that the rest of the story, the rest of what the ALJ said, pointing out that Mr. Mann did not act substantively in the previous proceedings, he acted in a procedural manner, just the very thought that that whole law firm could be disqualified, and they would have to start over with a whole new law firm, that would be anything but allowing a decision in a speedy and inexpensive manner.
You have to remember the ALJ, the current ALJ will have all of that to look at and those factors to consider as well. And, you know, I guess I trust that that person is up to it.
I'm sure they're up to it. I just think it's so simple we don't need to burden them with it.
To me, it is simple, and for that very reason, I think the ALJ will quickly be able to make a decision on it very quickly.
Agreed.
And I also agree in terms of, depending on the outcome, does that become an appealable item? And it absolutely does. It absolutely does. There's no question in my mind about that. And then I would echo, I don't have the expertise, frankly. On the surface, to me, it seems very simple. But it's not the best analogy, but I've gone in for stitches a number of times, and that seems pretty simple, too. But I probably shouldn't be doing it. So that's where I stand on that. I think it's going to be a very quick decision for the ALJ. And then whatever that decision is, I think it becomes more enforceable, if you will.
Commissioners, I think this is what we have the ALJ for, is to make these type of determinations.
Okay.
I don't have anything else to...
So is it all right if I just go back over the direction that we've been given? So ask the ALJ to make a decision on the disqualification motion. And on the motion of continuance, there is a recommendation that it continue as it is. Is it only due to the fact that we have the publication requirements, or is it just in general? So say, for example, if it's ultimately determined that this can be moved out to a further date to meet a publication requirement, you'd be open to that, or this is just the date that you guys are looking to have the hearing?
For me, it's about us keeping scheduling within the commission and that this is the date we've set.
I would be open to it only if it works for the other party and they're agreeable to it and it can be noticed.
Correctly.
So.
Okay.
And if everyone said it's not an issue,
sure,
and they want to move it, fine. But if someone, one of the parties, does not want to move it, then we stay with the 16th and 17th.
Yeah, or creates a snag on the publication side of it.
Correct.
Anyway.
Right. Right.
Okay.
And let me just say, Mr. Chair, because these things tend to get recorded and then misconstrued. When I say that, it's not that I think we should just, like, set dates and then stick to them no matter how good of a reason there is for someone wanting to change them. I'm willing to change them when there seems to be a good reason, but all the preparation time that's available to this law firm in advance of the hearing that they're at this week causes me to feel there's not a good reason to move it.
Well, and I think it's highly unlikely it's going to work for everyone.
Well, I guess just a follow-up to that, then I will just state that if after discussion with the parties and meeting with the ALJ, that the circumstances change or we can determine otherwise, I'll bring this back up then for discussion with the three of you.
Okay.
Based upon what three of you said.
And then did you want to recap the second piece?
On the disqualification?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. I thought I did already. The request of recommendation from the ALJ.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. And she knows the time frame. Obviously, the hearing is set for next Monday, so that needs to be as expedient as possible.
Sure.
So, all right. Very good.
Yeah. Thank you.
Thanks.
All right, we are adjourned.